Amen. Welcome, everyone. Amen. Thank you for your participation. Thank you, excellent musicians. You are an all-star band. I said that earlier, but these guys go way back. Craig Dion, thank you. Bob's here all the time. Thank you, guys. We love you so much, and of course, so. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I'm Pastor Steve. That was my little note to self. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit them. You got to quit, you know, backing off, backing down. We just got to go for it and trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Thank you, ma'am. Called my wife ma'am. Thank you, honey. That's better than ma'am. I do that sometimes just out of...
We've been married
a lot of times. Yeah, we have. So I call you a lot of names. So. All right, as if no one's heard this yet, but Happy New Year, everybody, 2026. Believing to be the best yet, amen. Best life yet, you know. Don't get offended if somebody says you can enjoy life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life, to me, suggests take a step up. In every area, any area, whatever area. If you only have faith for one area, step up in one area. But if you have faith in all areas, step up. Enjoy your life. Enjoy this time on earth. There's enough challenges. There's enough difficulty. There's enough pain and suffering to go around the world and the world and the world and the world. But praise God. Enjoy your life while things are good. Because, you know, having done all to stand, we stand. When it's difficult, when it's challenging, when things aren't going your way, the Bible says having done all to stand. And having done all to stand, stand with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, putting on the helmet of salvation, taking the shield of faith wherewith we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Huh? And pray always. Huh? And with all prayer and supplication, pray in the Spirit. That's not weird. That's what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul, while he was rejoicing, Apostle Paul probably wrote it while he's in prison. Sitting down in the what's it called outside, down in the hole, in the sewer. Down in the sewer. Where'd they throw you in the dungeon? Where was the dungeon? It was like the sewer. You got the excrements running down the water, little trail down, and, you know, the city's wastes are coming out, and they're throwing all the prisoners down in that dungeon, and they're beat up, they're whipped, their bodies are bleeding, and they're rejoicing. Because Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, no matter what your circumstances, you need to say it. You need to speak it. You need to declare it. You need to open up your mouth and just rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Well, Pastor, I don't have anything to rejoice about. You know, when you start rejoicing, it changes your circumstances and you get things to rejoice about, or your paradigm shifts and you start to see all along that I'm very blessed and I haven't been counting my blessings. I need to start counting my blessings because He's good. God is good. I believe God is good
all the time.
God is good. So, you know what? We need to just take it by faith, step up, do the word, do what it says, and therefore I'm going to continue presenting things today as we are doers of the word. Again, pray for 2026 to be your best year ever. Why not? Oh, it's getting close to the tribulation. Well, we're not in the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation. We won't be in the tribulation. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, I'm stepped up one level here, you know. The dead in Christ shall rise first up to this level. And then we all shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to glory. We're going to go. That's going to happen. And we do believe that there is 7 years of tribulation ahead. But it's not for the church. Thank God it's not for us. If you have faith to believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for you on the cross, he called you out of darkness into the marvelous light for the purpose of becoming a part of his family. You're a son and daughter of Almighty God. He's not going to leave you here for tribulation. He's not going to leave you here to suffer in the horrors that are going to happen in the last 7 years. It's going to be dark. I don't know. I just read what the Bible says and I believe it. It's going to be horrible. So believe the word of God. You don't have to believe me in Jesus' name, but I am a representative of Almighty God in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the word. We just love your word today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Apostle John starts here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, calling all Christians beloved, so that we must believe that we are. And you know what? In the lifestyle that we all have chosen in our lives, there are things we know about ourselves that how could anybody love me, or how could I be beloved, or what is my value in estimation? It's below zero. It's negative. Whatever you think of yourself, but God calls you his beloved because you believe in Jesus. That has qualified you to be accepted in the beloved, and you're just as accepted in the beloved as Pastor Nancy or any of the singers, musicians, or any of the saints that were in prayer all morning this morning. Thank you for the prayers. You're accepted in the beloved. I choose to believe the word of God. The Apostle Paul said, we are accepted in the beloved. That means we're accepted in him. We're accepted in whom? We're accepted in Christ. We're accepted in Jesus. We're accepted in the Lord. We're accepted by the Father because of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wow. Really? I'm feeling pretty special right now. You are special. You're awesome. And he's a mighty God. And you're a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. We believe that by faith. If you're not, be one. Step up. Admit it. Admit you need to step up and be a part of the kingdom of God and start serving God and start being fruitful. Yeah. I challenge everybody that's listening. Welcome to those of you that are online. I challenge everybody to be fruitful. Don't multiply, just be fruitful. The Bible says be more fruitful and multiply, but be fruitful. Serve God. Do something that would glorify Jesus and the kingdom and be a blessing somewhere going to happen in Jesus' name. All right, so 1 John 3:21 and 22, New King James, beloved, there you are. If our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, verse 22, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We know that the commandments, according to Jesus, are all summed up in to love your brother, to love others as you love yourself. And so if I choose to be a person that walks in love, I'm not stressing over the areas of the commandments and things like that. I'm not stressing over them. I'm just making that concerted effort and the adjustments in my life to walk in love. We all kind of blow it sometimes, and maybe we're crabby or nasty or even ugly sometimes, but we just simply choose to repent and walk in love. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn you, then we have confidence towards God, and whatever we ask or receive of him. When our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. I don't know, we have to evaluate the level of confidence that you have towards God. When you have confidence, then you believe that life is good. Where do you come off saying all these positive, wonderful things? Because I have confidence that God is a good God. I have confidence that the Bible is true. I have confidence that according to what the Bible said to the children of Israel, they're the head, not the tail. They're above and not beneath. They're blessed here. They're blessed there. They're blessed everywhere. And if that's the blessing from the Old Testament, why not step up to the next level in the New Testament? Believing all the Old Testament promises are yes and amen, along with New Testament promises. It's the whole word. We believe the whole word. We're not going to just discard. Hey, you know what the best parts of the Bible are? Psalms and Proverbs are some of the best places in the whole entire Bible. Now, I'm not a fan of Leviticus. I don't really read it very often. And you know, some of the prophets are a little, they're things that God absolutely had clearly defined meaning from his perspective that don't really make that much sense to me. But there's so much of the Bible that I can study and investigate. I don't have to stress over the parts I don't really understand. I don't claim to know a lot of some of the things found in the law. And you know what? Praise God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, here's the good part, that the blessing of Abraham could come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I've received the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Holy Spirit has come to live in my heart and in my life. And so everyone that receives Christ as their Savior has been given the Holy Spirit. And so you have the Holy Spirit. You're here on a Sunday morning, it's cold out, you know, you might have had to, you know, trudge through or whatever. That's not that bad today, but nevertheless, you're here. And praise God if you're not here. But we are children of the Most High God. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We are blessings. And so I celebrate the blessing. Somebody say, celebrate the blessing.
Celebrate the blessing.
Amen. We are blessed. All right. So when our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Confidence towards God when we're in the Word, in prayer, and living right. It's not complicated. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I understand what living right means. I don't have to have somebody tell me. But there are teachers that help us to understand better, but God opens our eyes. If you don't want your eyes open, then, you know, you can walk around with blinders on your eyes if you want to, but God wants to open our eyes to truth. And the truth is that we have all these blessings right before us. We have confidence towards God. So when we're in the Word and prayer and living right before Him, we have confidence towards God for strong prayers. We have confidence for courage and faith and a peaceful heart or spirit. We have confidence towards God when we're living a life pleasing to Him, even if no one sees us. That's the measure of somebody who's sold out. What you do when no one can see you but God. If you're sold out, what you do when no one can see you but God matters more than what you do when people can see you. Maybe you come to church and you got rhythm. Maybe you come to church and you lift your hands. Maybe you come to church and you sing real well. But what you do when no one can see you but God is the challenge to evaluate your own self. Well, don't get bummed out if you've been bad. Don't be bummed out and start pounding yourself and condemning yourself. Just repent. That's what, I mean, somebody goes, well, is it that easy? Just Apostle John said, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Yay! That's awesome. That's simple. I do the Word. That is a great word for all of us to do because all of us miss it. You know, somebody who can, you know, just hang on as hard as they want to, I don't miss anything. Yeah. We know, you know, we're pride. That's pride, so you missed it right there. So you might as well just humble yourself, get right with God, and have confidence towards God that something good is going to happen to me. All right, so confidence towards God is a place where all believers can attain to through a hungry heart. Verse 19 of this same context from 1 John from the Amplified Classic says, by this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize and understand that we are of the truth and reassure our quiet, conciliate and pacify our hearts. Why would it say pacify our heart in this context? In the Amplified Classic, it says we can quiet, conciliate and pacify our hearts because our hearts, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. If my heart's bugging me, if I'm walking around and I'm smiling and I might even be dancing, but my heart's bugging me. It's just, why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Heart, soul, inside, whatever spirit, whatever you want to call it. If I'm disquieted on the inside, God knows what's going on inside you. We can put up a facade or whatever it's called and put on a happy face. We can do that. All of us can do it. We should do it. You should have a smile on your face. You're a Christian. You're born again. You're delivered from the power of darkness. We should smile. We should be happy. We should have the joy of the Lord. But not always. Things are always going perfect. There's a lot of times where, you know, people are going through suffering physically or mentally or financially, emotionally, whatever the circumstance may be. Nothing's perfect all the time, but we can still rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I just choose to put on the garment of praise. I'm putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If I feel heavy, there's times when you feel heavy. Heavy makes your shoulders droop and you kind of walk like this. And, you know, the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Do you get that? Pray with the Spirit and with understanding, so they're different. Somebody's got to get that today, whether you're watching or whether you're here. Pray in the Spirit or with understanding. That's a simple little message right there that's worth, it's priceless. Because when I don't know what to pray for as I ought, the Spirit himself makes intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's according to the will of God. So I can trust that anytime I yield to pray, that I am praying correctly. There are times when, you know, we may stumble in our prayer in English, but if I pray in the Spirit, the Bible says I'm praying according to the will of God, and I trust that. It's a lot of trust here. Everything is, all of it that I present in this is the Word of God, and you have to trust it in order to walk in it, to believe it, to receive it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. That song used to be on KTIS radio when I was a kid. I could sing it for you. Would you like me to sing it for you? I'd sing it right now. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. John's over there looking back around the building like, is there anybody here? Homer, I saw you do that. All right, so verse 19 from the Amplified Classic says, but by this we shall come to know, perceive, perception. We shall perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of the truth and can reassure, quiet, and conciliate, and pacify our hearts in his presence. Amplified gets pretty wordy there, but the idea here is that whatever way necessary, we can get quiet. You maybe have made a mess. And I know most of you, and I know that you haven't made a mess. You know, we all stumble, we all make mistakes, and we all have stuff we don't want to, you know, to remember. But, you know, our hearts are pacified. A quiet heart, going forward with a quiet, pacified heart in his presence. The most fruitful time as a Christian is when we have a peaceful, joyful, quiet heart or conscience. If our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If our heart doesn't condemn us, then we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. A quiet heart, the most fruitful time as a Christian, the peacefulness, the joyfulness, the quiet heart or conscience, where I feel clean, Lord. I couldn't think of something right now. See, this is for speaking for everybody that's sold out. Most people that are sold out can say genuinely, I'm clean, Lord. The Bible says, our cleanliness, our righteousness is as filthy rags. So in me, to come before God and say, Steve's clean. My cleanliness is as filthy rags. But in Christ Jesus, in him, in whom? In him we live and move and have our being. In him, I've been washed white as snow. I'm clean from head to toe, inside out. My spirit is clean. My mind is clean and pure. My body's clean and pure. According to faith. By faith. Faith means that I choose to believe it despite my circumstances. I might have just came into the kingdom. I just might have gotten saved recently. And all of a sudden these things are opening my eyes to things. And I'm going, wow, what do I do about that? And what do I do about that? And I've been there and I've been doing this and all this stuff. Hey, but you know what? God loves you. He's got a plan for you. All things are possible if you'll believe. Change can come as quickly as you'll invest. Invest your life. If you invest a small portion of your life, then a small portion of your life will change. But if you invest your being, if you invest yourself, if you invest your mind, and you invest your life into things of God, your life will change very quickly, and pretty soon you'll grow up quick. There are people in this room, there are people watching that grew up just really quick and matured as Christians, and you go, whoa, what happened to you? They took God seriously is what they did. They put God first place, and they sold out. So that's a taste of something someone could have. And I know most of you have done that. And so, but there's sometimes there a young person that is going, I'm not sure if I believe this Jesus stuff. That's a fair question. Because I can't touch God. I touch God by faith. I touch God by his word. I touch God in prayer. But I've never seen Jesus except we got cool pictures of him. But the point being is that this is a faith walk and we're trusting. And the more we trust, the more we walk by faith. The more we walk by faith, the less we walk by sight. And when we walk by faith, we become doers of the word. And as we're doers of the word, our life does change. Your life changes. You will be better by doing the word of God. Somebody say amen. All right, so we're talking about a quiet heart in verse 20 from the New Living Translation. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. There that is again. Wow. Feeling guilty. Let's get that out of here, man. Let's just get that out of here because, you know, we all know what it feels like. We know when we feel guilty, we all still do because there are all kinds of things that cause us to feel guilty at times. But verse 22 says, if we receive from him whatever we ask, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. Obeying God by doing what the Bible says is a simple fact of life that pleases him. It's not complicated. We just do things that please God, and we stop doing things that please the world or ourselves or our flesh or our mind or our carnal appetites. When we stop those and we start to do things that please God, we're moving in a path of righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All right, so no longer is your name attached to walking in righteousness, but it's for his name's sake that I'm identifying with his name. And that's impetus, that's strength, that's encouragement. That helps me when I see it that way, that I'm not just doing that so I can, so I can feel better about myself. No, I'm doing it because I'm doing it for him. I am doing it for the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth. Amen and amen and amen with that. All right, so a quiet heart, the most fruitful time as a Christian, I think I already said that, is when all is well with my soul. All right, obeying God by doing what the Bible says is a simple fact of life. I keep repeating here, sorry. Guilty feelings and shame and troubled hearts and disquieted consciences are no fun. Turmoil, disquiet. Listen to this one, perturbedness. That's in the Bible. I found that in the Bible. Perturbedness. Indicators, just as a turn signal indicates a change of lane. Hopefully you use your signal lights. My wife reminds me, use your signal lights. But they're indicators that we're about to move across a lane of traffic. Simple. We put on indicators to indicate that we're going to change lanes. There are indicators in Christianity that help us to identify things that are going on in our life. Guilty feelings, shame, troubled hearts, or disquieted consciences are indicators. They're indicating that something is wrong. And I can sweep it under the rug. Some of our great friends and family and Christian brothers and sisters are fabulous at, we're all fabulous at hiding the things that we sweep under the rug. And I wish that we could all say we don't sweep anything under the rug, but sometimes we just, we've been taught to put on a happy face and put on a facade in reality, if you're miserable right now, my advice for when I'm miserable, if I admit my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, please forgive me. And man, the righteousness is, the joy is restored and peace comes. And I'm not afraid or I'm not worried or I'm not troubled or anything. And because he forgave me. And maybe people don't. Maybe people still hate me or they have whatever they, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall because there are people like David that were against him. And yet when he was walking in favor with, when he was walking in fellowship with God, there was nothing that could stop David. He was incredible. David's an incredible Bible hero, and I encourage everybody to read your Psalms. If you don't enjoy the Bible, go to Psalms and Proverbs. Proverbs are one-liners. Every one-liner is wisdom, supernatural wisdom from heaven. One-liners are the best because you kick back and you ponder. And then you read another one-liner, you kick back and you ponder. Pondering is meditating. You want to meditate in the Word. The Bible says, meditate my Word, and you will see how to make your way prosperous and how to have good success. So how do people change from, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, meditate in God's Word. Well, what word do you meditate? Anything you're reading, meditate on it. But you can go to the Proverbs, you can go to the Psalms, you can find subjects in the back of the Bible. You can find subjects specific to your issues. And when you find them, meditate in God's Word, and you will see how to make your way prosperous and how to have good success. I want you to have good success. I want you to prosper. Prosper in health, prosper in mind, prosper in soul, prosper in finances, prosper in family, prosper in marriage, prosper in children, prosper in everything you do. I want you to prosper. Why not? Why would you suffer in all those areas? Because you refuse to make adjustments and changes without meditating on the Word. I'm going to meditate on God's Word. I'm going to put God's Word first place. I'm going to put a scripture in my pocket. If you looked at my stacks of stuff that I've kept over the years when I was working secular jobs and stuff, there were scriptures written everywhere. Everywhere. Because that's what kept me strong to do the things that God wanted me to do. I had scriptures everywhere. I'd lift up a sheet on my desk and boom, there's a scripture. Yeah, that's an awesome one. Boom, there's another one if I pull open a drawer. Boom, there's another one in the back seat of my, on the front dashboard of my car. I got scriptures everywhere. Why? Because I want the promises. The promises of God are yes and amen. I want to believe to receive the blessing and favor of God in my life. And that's how my life changed. I don't know what you're doing to get your life changed, but my life changed when I put God's Word in places and I meditated on my Word. Why? Because meditate my Word and you will see how to make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Wow, good success. Amen. That means everything I put my hands to prospers? Oh, you're one of those people. Yeah, because it's Bible. Just call me Bible Steve. Yeah, I absolutely wouldn't mind if you called me Bible Steve. Amen. All right, so now let's let the Lord's will, you know, the Lord will put that out there of the excitement of good things happening. And everybody can relate to looking at a future of good things happening. You know, we don't always have to worry that something bad is going to happen. I don't never think about something bad is going to happen. Don't think about the bad things happen. Find some of these great scriptures to meditate on and believe something good is going to happen to you. But then, as you read on, then you have to investigate and examine your own heart. Okay? So, verse 21 says, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. Verse 22, and we'll receive from him whatever we ask. Guilty feelings and shame and troubled hearts and disquiet consciences are no fun. Turmoil, disquiet, perturbedness there. I was getting back to that point. Our indicators, and we got to that signal thing. All right, so verse 20 of the Amplified says, whenever our heart convicts us in guilt. We're not afraid of that. I'm a pastor. I'm expected to walk in holiness. I'm expected to walk in the Spirit. And yet there are times when my heart convicts me in guilt. There's no perfection in this. We're all growing and learning and developing and getting better. Getting better if you're pursuing getting better. Maybe you've just jumped off the ship. If you jumped off the ship, you're drowning. You don't know it. We'll throw you a lifeline. This is the lifeline. The Word of God is the lifeline. Throw you a circle thing, a lifesaver, you know. Whenever our hearts convict us in guilt, God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him because we are in his hands. Verse 21, beloved, if our hearts do not convict us of guilt, We have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. Going on to the 22nd, we receive from him whatever we ask because we carefully and consistently keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, habitually seeking to follow his plan for us. So basically, I've said all that in my way, and then I say it the way the Amplified says it, which obviously is the Bible. I want that to be the most important point, not what Steve says, but what the Bible says. That's critical. It's critical. But then when you do know your Bible, you know that Steve is referring to the Bible. That Steve's not preaching his own ideas. He's getting his ideas from the Bible. These sheets of paper are full of scriptures. That's the objective of church. That's the objective of being a Christian, is you come to church, you get to sing, you get to praise the Lord, you get to worship, and you get the word. If you go to a church, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to a church and you're not getting any word, maybe they throw you a little snack or a little biscuit or just a crumb. That's not church. You need the word of God, because I want to be strengthened with might. I want to be encouraged, and I want someone to lead. I want someone to lead, and we want leaders, and there are many excellent leaders in the church. There are prayer leaders. There are leaders in diligence and faithfulness to do the things around the church, and there are others that lead in singing and worship, and I get the privilege of talking about God's word. What a privilege to talk about God's word. I get to do this. This is a privilege for me. 1 John 3:20 again, if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. New Living Translation, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and he knows everything. The New English Translation, NET, that if our conscience condemns us, that God is greater than our conscience and knows all things. So all over the earth, everywhere on the earth, in every corner, any little place, God knows all, who can explain that? That's okay. I believe it because that's what the Bible says. All over the earth, everywhere, in every country, guilt and shame are terrorizing the minds and souls of believers in Christ. That's a negative. I ended that front page on a negative because people are being tormented and terrorized by their past, by their feelings, by their circumstances, by what someone said. How do I get out of that? I was like that. I was getting kicked around. I was getting walked on. People didn't really mean me any harm, but they just did. They took shots at you. People in the world that are unhappy with themselves, they take shots at you. There are shots, and you're going, why is all this... This junk, I was going to say a different word. Why is all this junk coming on me? But what we're doing is we're standing. The enemy wants to defeat us. He wants to work overtime to torment a believer. And if you're a young believer, he's going to try and torment you. He's going to try and make you feel bad. He's going to try and upset you with somebody that honks at you, or somebody that, you know, spits at you, or, you know, swears at you, or something like that. But we just keep going. He's using guilt and shame to terrorize the minds and souls of Christians everywhere. When we're feeling guilty, our hearts are condemning us, our conscience is harassing us and causing us shame and misery. Are we crazy? No. But shame and condemnation is what is tormenting Christians the most. It's causing depression, which is why so many Christian people are medicating and on drugs. Let's get real. 2026. I'm going to snort some cocaine. I'm going to smoke a joint. I'm going to drop some pills or shoot some drugs or something, because I need to medicate myself because of the torments that I'm experiencing in my life. You need deliverance. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You need deliverance. You need to be set free. He delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, that scripture alone right there can fix you. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That scripture meditated on over and over. Put that scripture on your refrigerator. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your desk at work or your machine where you work or whatever. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That word can deliver you from misery, pain, suffering, your past, your memories, whatever it is, it'll change. Why? Because once you start to believe that one, give me some more, and you start to feed on new scriptures that point you in the right direction. All of a sudden, you're moving away from the old you, and you're believing in the new you. All things have been made new. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only. I think I said that already. He is, are we crazy? No, but shame and condemnation is what is tormenting Christians the most. Psalm 42:11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? All right, let's just examine this right now. I would venture to say we could probably find someone that says they're a Christian that is going through the feelings of cast down soul. Well, do what David did. David said to yourself, David said to himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Believe God, he said. Choose to believe the word. The word is the sword of the spirit. The word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If I was down in the dumps and I was under condemnation, if I was feeling low, if I was feeling misery and pain, I would do the word of God. I would take the sword of the spirit. I got to have the shield of faith because, hey, when the enemy knows that he's got you down, guess what? They'll sling them arrows at you. But if you have the shield of faith, those things just bounce off. There is nothing he can throw at you that can stick. If you keep your shield of faith, you've got your sword of the spirit. You've got the word of God. You got the helmet of salvation. You got the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins are got all about the truth. My feet are shod. Preparation of God's be. I got the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Therefore, I'm not going to be under strongholds here, but you sound crazy, Pastor. Crazy enough to be a doer of the word.
Amen. Yeah.
Doers of the word and not hearers only, because I have joy. I have joy. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So I've got those things. All right, so if I walk in those things, those other things may bug me. They may tempt me to be angry or offended or hurt or anything, but we resist those things and we stay in the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody goes, you serious, dude? Yeah, I'm very serious. I enjoy life. Life is good. And I know where I'm going. If Jesus Christ came today, I know I'm on the first train out. I'm out. I'm out. Praise God. We're all out. I'm believing that you're out too. Amen. Are we crazy? No. But shame and condemnation is what's tormenting Christians most. I said that a long time ago. Let me find where I'm at. Psalm 43:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Again, this should be a Christian go-to. Verse 20 from the New Living, even if we feel guilty, God's greater than our feelings and he knows everything. Verse 20 from the New English, if our conscience condemns us, God's greater than our conscience. 1 John 3:19, so hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So hereby, within these three verses, we have our heart condemning us, feeling guilty, our conscience that is disquieted, and the Bible says they're all solved by living in the truth of God's word. Some people, Christians, appreciate God's word, but they don't believe it as the sword of the Spirit. They don't believe it as the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he set us at his own right hand, set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named. That power, That same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in these mortal bodies. So no one can say, I can't do what you're saying, Pastor Steve. You're just out in left field. No, I'm not in left field. I'm the pitcher. I'm the catcher. I'm a shortstop. I've always been the shortstop. Every team I was on, I was the shortstop. I was a shortstop. I can play first base. I can play second base. Play third base. I can play left field, center field, right field. I can play any position because I'm in the Word, where I can be any way, anyhow, with God's Word. Not to brag. No bragging here, because I stay humble. I know that if you start bragging, it's not humble. And if you're not humble, that's pride. And if you're in pride, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't want to fall. I know what it feels like to fall. I know what it's like to get miserable, be miserable about yourself, and hate yourself, and feel bad about yourself. But pride will cause that. Get out of pride. Get out of pride. How do you get out of pride? Repent. Humble yourself. Admit you're wrong. I remember they did an exercise to admit you're wrong. And I don't think half the people could admit they're wrong. And it was like, dude, just admit you're wrong. You don't have to think about what it is. Just admit you're wrong. No, because I'm not wrong, and I'm not going to admit something that I don't know. Dude, if we examined your life, we could find 15 to 20 to 30 to 50, 100 things that are wrong. Every one of us find out what's wrong. So admit you're wrong. Why are you yelling at me? Because I'm yelling at me to admit I'm wrong. Where am I wrong? Right now, there's really nothing, because I've admitted what I need to admit when I need to admit it. I have no problem with repentance. I love it. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful for forgiveness. As far as east is from the west, he remembers my sins no more. So I kind of feel like, yeah. Amen. Who was it that, yeah, baby? Oh, that was Austin. Forget it. All right, so, yeah. All right, so, condemnation of unconfessed sin is the root of many troubles, disturbances, disquiet, and mental anguish. God, what? Oh, mental anguish. If we could help somebody with mental anguish, just help lead them to just admit. Staying out of the flesh. Getting in the flesh will cause condemnation every time. Get out of the carnal mind. Stay in the spirit. What are you talking about, Steve? You know what I'm talking about. What's the biggest curse in the earth right now? Pornography. I don't know. We could debate and argue, but it just seems that it's the biggest curse. Slaves. There's slaves in churches. Churches full of slaves to pornography. Go to church. Yeah, hallelujah. Get out of church and rush to the computer. Or my private zone. You got to break the chain. Come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Say no. Yeah, but you're you. I'm me. I'm more of a man than you are. You know them dudes that came to my men's class? They all wanted to say, I'm more of a man than you are. Step up and taste this, bro, and I'll tell you who's the better man, right? No, you're not going to do that. Humble yourself, man. We're all on the same playing field. I've done stuff that you'd never attempt. Good stuff. I've accomplished things you'd never be able to get to that place. Am I bragging? No, I'm just saying that don't come to me and say stuff like that. We've got testimonies. Incredible testimonies of guys that came back 6 months, a year, a couple years later, and they were gushing with appreciation and love for the men's classes that we had on sexual promiscuity and pornography and sexual purity. Because they did it. They fought and believed they could win. And they were winning, and they were celebrating, and they were glad, and they were so excited. Why am I talking about this? Because it just came up in my heart, and I'm going to tell somebody this. You're not a slave to sin. The chain has been broken. You may feel like you're a slave. You may think you're a slave, but the chain has been severed by the blood and the name and the power of God in the Word. It's severed, broken. Man, I don't care. If you see an ocean liner, have you ever seen those anchors? The chains, links are this. I mean, they're gigantic. Doesn't matter how big the chain to the world and the chain to the flesh and the chain to the carnality and the chain to the sin is. It could be an anchor chain this big of link after link after link, but the power of God is universal. He's God. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Break the chain. Step out in faith. Believe that you can. How do you believe that you can? You say what the Word says. I can. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's how you break the chain. Every time that temptation comes on you and you go, oh, I just got to sneak away. I don't want anybody to see me. I'm going to sneak away. Stand up to sin. Quit being a wimp. Have some courage. Have some spiritual fortitude. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand with your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with preparation of the peace, putting on the helmet of salvation, taking the shield of faith wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and most importantly, take the sword of the Spirit. Well, I don't have a sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Well, I don't know any Bible verses. Well, get some Bible verses. You got a concordance in the back? Look up something. Go look at the references. One of them is going to jump out at you. Start there. Are you picking on me, Pastor Steve? No, I'm picking on myself. I'm always picking on myself because you know what? Lessons are lessons. We need to learn. The Bible calls it growing up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Him. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I come to church and I hear it, and you know what? I'm still the same guy, and I'm still going to be the same guy because Everything is open and bare before God, in whom we have to do. I can't hide anything from Him. Maybe if there's nothing we get today, just accept you can't hide anything from God. You know, Mark Farner wrote that song. I always say it. I'm calling out for the last time. It's getting real close to the end of the line. I'm calling out to those who will receive me. God's always calling out. And we don't want it to be the end of the line for anybody. We don't want anybody to, we don't want anybody to fail. Cool, I got time. So in 1 John 3:19, it says, hereby we know that we're of the truth. Everybody say, I'm of the truth.
I'm of the truth.
I believe the truth.
I believe the truth.
Because I'm a doer of the word. I put God's word first place. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, so hereby with these three verses, we can defeat that condemned heart, feeling guilty, conscience that's disquieted. We can solve it by living in the truth of God's word, staying out of the flesh, obviously, staying out of the carnal mind, obviously, staying in the Spirit, condemnation or unconfessed sin is a root of many troubles. We touched on that. Praise is a healthy remedy for all condemnation and tormenting shame. Can you, you know, most of the ladies have no problem praising God, I hope. I say that because they, to me, women aren't as arrogant as men are. And I'm not insulting anybody specifically. I'm saying us as a, you know, we have been designed to, you know, want to be macho. And what we want to not be arrogant, but we want to be able to praise the Lord out loud. And can you praise the Lord out loud? Do you care what anybody next to you thinks? Do you care what maybe, you know, I don't say that anybody needs to walk down the street. If you want to, you can praise the Lord. That's awesome, praising the Lord. But you don't have to. You don't have to go to work and praise the Lord out loud. And I wouldn't recommend it if they don't, you know, if you aren't sure of what you want to do. But then, but in your own privacy, praise the Lord out loud. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. But praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise to still the enemy and the avenger. Praising God is a weapon that we use in our privacy. I'm not proud of any of our church that can sing in church. I'm proud of our church members that can praise the Lord in the privacy of their home, in the privacy of their job, in the privacy of their car, wherever they go. They're not afraid. They're willing in whatever circumstances to praise the Lord, to open their mouth and praise the Lord. And the reason I keep addressing this is because there always is those that think, you see that Pastor Steve? He's nuts. They've told me. I went over to what was the men's group place? Salvation Army. They mocked me. These guys are the ruffians and the filth of the universe. And when I say filth of the universe, if we were in the world, we were all the filth of the universe. And when I tried to teach them this stuff, they were, you know, they said, come on over, the lady that ran it said, come on over and teach our guys that class you have on sexual purity. So I went over there, yes, it's all guys, right? And they were hooting and hollering and mocking and asking stupid, perverted questions on purpose just to take shots at me. But you know what I did? I held fast to my profession of faith, and I set an example for them guys that you can win if you fight, and if you don't fight, you're a coward. I told them, you're a coward, dude. Dude, you may, if you stand up, you may insult me, but if you can't do the word of God, you're a coward. Boy, they wanted to fight. And I'm a little bit of a ruffian myself. Step up. Get some of this. I got something for you. No, but, you know, I mean, some of the guys, I forgot who were with me. There were guys that, some of our team of guys came with me. I don't remember who they were. They might not be with us still now. But, yeah, so time right there. All right, so walking, praise. Praise God. We need to praise, all of us. Men, you need to praise the Lord out loud. Whenever you can, however you can, even if it's under your breath, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. Just praise him, okay? Put it into your repertoire of weapons of your warfare. Walking in the Spirit by staying in the Word, praying in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding, or vice versa. Pray with understanding and pray in the Spirit. We believe in praying in the Spirit. It's a weapon of our warfare, and it's not carnal, but mighty through God. We do that. 22 from King James Version, I believe it's 1 John 3:22. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. Our objective is to get to a place, not to arrogance. So if you thought I'm arrogant here, I step back and I humble myself, because any moment, any time, I can bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family, heaven's name. I can humble myself any way needed to prove that I can be humble and not in pride or arrogance or self, you know, selfishness of, you know, who do you think you are? I know this works. I know this is how you change. I know that you can be delivered from the power of darkness and live in the kingdom of God's dear Son. We can be one of the worst statistics there is right now of how much perversion is in the church. Churches all over that profess to be, you know, the great and mighty evangelists of the day. Not insulting evangelists at all. I'm just saying that there are so many, the truth of the matter when you look into some of the books of teaching how to, I'm reading this incredible book. A brother in this church gave it to me. And it's, I'm trying to remember the author's name. Peter Whitehouse. It is exactly what I'm teaching right now. So let me ask you this question. If what I'm teaching right now is exactly what someone else is teaching somewhere else, then there must be people all over the earth that are teaching the same thing and we're on the same page because it's true. What's the simplicity of the equation? Come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. The promises of God are yes and
amen.
Amen. If the promises are yes and amen, I qualify for a promise because the blood of Jesus covers me. Therefore, I'm part of the family. The promises cover me. All the promises are yes and amen. But I have to use faith. I have to believe that the promises of God are all in the Bible so that Steve can sit down in the privacy of his study time and begin to study and search back in the concordance and find the subjects that he needs in his life starting right now. If I'm an alcoholic, if I'm a drug abuser, if I'm a pervert, whatever it is, I can find scriptures in the Bible that will help me to break that chain. Or I can shut my Bible, come to church on Sunday, and live that way, still bound with chains to all the things I just said. I'm telling you, whom the Son has set free, when we're free indeed, the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. You know, we say it all the time, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is when you're free. But when you're in bondage, when you're bound up, when you're under guilt and shame and condemnation, and you don't want, even want to lift your face because you feel so bad about yourself, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. God wants you to be strong in the Lord in the power of your might. You weren't called to be a minuscule member of the body of Christ. He called you. He wants to use you. There's somebody that needs you right now in your sphere of influence. They need you. And they're waiting for you to stand up and admit you're a Christian and admit you believe the Bible and admit you go to a church where Pastor Steve talks like this. I know it works. That's why I'm so passionate. I know it works. It's been working for me since I had small children that I didn't know how I was going to support them. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I believe you. And all of a sudden, as I surrendered, God's goodness, his favor, his grace, his love, and his blessings started to come on me and overtake me. It wasn't just because of that. I believed what the Bible said about money. I needed to be able to support my family, and I didn't have enough money. And the Bible said, give, and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It said, honor the Lord with your first fruits. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will burst out with new wine. I said, Lord, I believe you. I believe that you could turn my world around so that I could afford to buy my kids tennis shoes to go to school. I could pay for the things they needed at school, that I could do this. And Christians' doors began to open for me, not because of any reason except God is good. He will do it for anybody that will stand on God's word. And I made a commitment to separate myself from sin. Was I perfect at separating myself from sin? No. But what I did was I committed. I made a commitment. I'm going to separate myself from sin. And I'm going to be a doer of the word. If I see it in there and I understand it, I'm going to practice it to the best of my ability. So now I've swung the pendulum from living that way to being a doer of the word. And the progress and the movement, forward movement was incredibly fast. Not fast in terms of a day, a week, or a month, but it turned, it changed. And pretty soon I was getting promotions on my job, and they came to me and they asked me if I wanted to work on a special project. I told you about that special project many times. Working on nuclear weapons for nuclear subs and doing the drawings and stuff, and my income doubled. That's pretty cool in my estimation. Now, some of you want, 10 times, that's great. 100 times, that's great. But mine doubled, and I was so blessed. Because now I can be free of that worry. Worry about debt and bills and not having enough, putting gas in the car and fixing it, fit something, it just changes your life to where you go, thank you, Father, thank you, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. And I want that for somebody who may be going through some of the things that I said. I want you to know him. I want you to experience. God's not a respecter of persons. Someone needs to hear that. 11:52, I'm wrapping this up. He's not a respecter of persons. That means that everybody can come to him on the level of going through Jesus. And so that, favor comes to people that are diligent. Favor comes to people that are sold out. Favor comes to people that, well, just look in the Bible for favor and it'll tell you where favor comes from. God does favor people because the word says so. It's when you align yourself with God, favor comes on your life. And we know people around this church and around Christianity, they're favored. They have favor. They're dripping with favor. So I encourage somebody right now to consider these things. And as I close, let me find one scripture to close with right now. It says, let's go here. Romans 8:1. Do we have that right now? Therefore then, right now, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But then it goes, the ones that don't walk in the flesh. So it says there's no condemnation, and some people just say there's no condemnation. Well, it says to those that don't walk in the flesh. So I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and there's no condemnation. So I want to encourage somebody with no condemnation to those who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I just had one that I skipped over. All right, this is 1 John 3:22. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. So right now, if anybody's heart is condemning them, as we close this message, condemning doesn't mean it's this incredibly loud voice screaming at you. There are times when incredibly loud voices scream at you. It might not be anybody naturally. It could be in the spiritual realm where it just feels like just everything's coming against you. It's like warfare, right? But we want anyone in here that wants this to come to pass in your life. To admit, what you need to admit. Actually, I don't know how to close this message. Pastor Ness, come on up here. I got so many things still on my mind that...
How about if we fix this first? Because this has been bugging me all the whole service. He got a new thing, and he's got his glasses on and his hearing aid. Oh my God.
All right, you changed the subject here now.
I did. Choose Jesus.
Thank you.
Live for God.
Amen.
Take a stand. Just take a stand. And that's what I had in my heart this morning. I was just waiting for you to give me the mic.
Well, you can always jump up here.
Well, I know. I don't want to do that. If you want to take a stand for things to be different in 2026,
yeah.
Don't stand just because other people are standing. Make a commitment to God. That's it. I'm done. Here's the thing. If you don't ever draw the line in the sand in your own life, the enemy's just going to keep right on because he knows you're not serious. But if you're serious about your faith, about growing up in Christ, doing what you're called to do, every single one of us, God has a call on our lives. It may not be to stand in the pulpit. It could be. But there's a call on your life to be an active participant in the kingdom of God. What are you called to do? It could be that you show up and make coffee every Sunday. That could be what you're called to do. That's excellent because we all like our coffee.
I helped this morning.
You did. Josh was running a little late. That is important. It's important if you're, all of us are called to be ministers of reconciliation, to let our light shine wherever we are. You mentioned the sphere of influence. Are you letting your light shine? Are you hoping that nobody asks you whether or not you're a Christian? Or do the people in your lives, they don't even know you're a Christian because you don't do anything different? I do have to clarify too, because there might be some people in here that don't know this or watching. You talked about movies. Pastor Steve and I haven't been to a movie in a movie theater in a gazillion years. I think the last movie we actually went to a movie theater was The Passion of Christ. And that was probably 25 years ago.
True, I haven't seen.
25 years ago. Once in a while, we'll record some movies on TV. So if he ever references a movie, we have no idea if there's like stuff in it because we didn't see it. We only like watch movies that are on TV, which have everything edited out. Why? Because we're prudish? No, we just don't want the garbage.
We don't have any cable channels or any...
The Bible says to foresee evil and hide. So that's what we try to do. We just try not to expose ourselves to stuff that then we got to deal with. So if you want to take a stand, go up higher in 2026. Stand up. And we'll pray a prayer, and that's how we're going to end the service today. So if you want to take a stand in 2026, you want things to be different, you're going to go higher, you're going to take your faith more seriously, stand up. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for those that are standing. Thank you for those that are standing online. We commit our lives right now. Not our will, but yours be done. God, we want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ that honors you in every way possible. That we would be serious so that Jesus, you can be lifted up and magnified through us, in us and through us. That our light would shine bright to those around us that are searching, groping in darkness. And they find you because of the light that's in us. It's for your kingdom and for your glory. Why don't you say this after me? Father God.
Father God.
I commit. Myself to you.
Myself to you.
I surrender. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the blood of Jesus.
For the blood of Jesus.
That cleanses me.
From all unrighteousness.
I will.
I will.
Seek you first.
Seek you first.
Seek your kingdom.
Seek your kingdom.
Choosing life.
Choosing life.
Avoiding death.
Avoiding death.
Making good decisions.
Making good decisions.
Wise decisions.
Wise decisions.
According to your word.
According to your word.
I will be.
I will be.
A doer of your word.
A doer of your word.
And not a hearer only.
And not a hearer only.
I run away.
I run away.
From falsehood.
From falsehood.
Deception.
Deception.
And evil.
And evil.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You help me.
You help me.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
You lead me.
You lead me.
And guide me.
And guide me.
Into all truth.
Into all truth.
My steps.
My steps.
Are ordered of you.
Are ordered of you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now do what you just said.
Let's say the salvation prayer too, though. Let's just say that because we offer that for anyone maybe listening or watching or with us. But let's just say the salvation prayer. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
And was raised again from the dead.
And was raised again from the dead.
So that I could have eternal life.
So that I could have eternal life.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive forgiveness now.
And I receive eternal life.
And I receive eternal life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you can go ahead and be seated. If you came in today, hopefully you got a card to fill out for the database. If you are part of the church, want information on the different groups, we're in the process of redoing a database so that we can get information out to people on the different events that we have. So if you would please fill that out for us and put it in the offering. And even if you've been in the church, I'm filling one out. Okay. So I've been around for a long time. We've been the pastors for a long time. We're going to fill out a card. So if we can fill out a card, you can fill out a card. So please don't discount that because we want the database to be correct so that if we ever have a snow event or things going on apart from the regular groups and things that we want to communicate with you, we can let people know. So there's the database will allow us to email people, to text people, or to do both. And you can pick what your preference is. But please fill that out today if you can before you leave. Ladies, we're going to meet here on Saturday at 11. So all the ladies, you're invited. We'll have a message and lunch, and that'll be a good time. And then the following Saturday will be Revelation. So if you're interested in where we are on God's time clock, which is a very good group. They've had lively discussions for about 10 or 12 years. You're invited to that, and that's 9 o'clock. Pastor Steve leads that the third Saturday of every month. And then the fourth Saturday, we have five this month. The fourth Saturday, we need to do some, you know, just additional things. We've been in the church now for 2 months since we've moved into the facility. We've got some things that are still kind of left undone, so I thought we'd have a little work. A work Saturday morning, we'll have lunch for anybody that wants to come and help us. We've got some things that we just need to get done and keep moving forward. So that's coming up the fourth Saturday this month. All right, we'll receive the offering. And Pastor Steve already shared a couple of scriptures. I remember when I got saved, I thought, that's it. I'm getting saved. Whatever the pastor says, that's what I'm going to do. Because I just, before I knew Pastor Steve, I remember the pastor was talking about tithing. I thought, well, seems like kind of a lot of money, but I actually can do that because I spend more on that. I spend more than that going out on the weekends. So why wouldn't I want to just honor God? And so I never looked back. I just thought, that's great. I'd rather be the pitcher, someone being a blessing, than always having my hand out, not enough. And the way you go from the land of not enough to having your needs met to being a blessing is you got to do it God's way. And that's through the aspect of giving. And the benefit is it helps you to get over yourself, helps you to get over selfishness, because you have to take something that you've earned and give part of that to the kingdom of God. But then God promises so many blessings attached to being a doer of his word where giving is concerned. So Pastor Steve and I don't look at the offerings. We have other people in the church that handle the money. And that's just so we want to love everybody the same. Your giving is between you and God, but it is a blessing to be a giver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And that is the path out. It was the path out for Pastor Steve when he was a single dad. It was the path out for me in my life. And it's been our pattern of life. We've been married for 35 years. And we've always looked to put God first in everything. And it started with our finances, just being faithful in what Jesus called the least of things. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. I pray, Lord, for every single person to be a doer of your word and to understand that you want good things for us. And you will position us and you will help us, whether we're living in poverty now or we're just barely getting by, or even if we're in enjoying blessing, it's always better when you're involved. And so, Father, we thank you for the gifts, the tithes, and the offerings in this church. We purpose to use every penny to further your work in your kingdom. We thank you now. We receive them. We lift up the ministries that we support, Father, as a congregation. We pray for them to have their needs met. We pray for the people of those ministries to have their needs met. We pray for the people of this church to have every need met in abundance in Jesus' name. Amen.